begin the current daf, Masechta Tzavot Zohar daf Samech Aleph. Begin on the top of the Yom, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah is regarding the halacha of Maga Akum, regarding the touching of a non-Jew and its prohibited status regarding the laws of Yayin Nasach. So the Mishnah says, Hamitar Yenish Shel Evek Echavim. If someone purifies the wine of a non-Jew, what that means to say is that he does it in a state of kashrus, he makes sure that it's kosher, meaning to say that there's no prohibited status on this wine, even though the grapes are owned by the non-Jew, but he makes sure that only Jewish people are involved in the production and it's kosher, it's not Yayin Nesach, it's not impure, to sell it to a Jewish person. Now, however, he doesn't pay for the product right now, this Jewish worker. Rather, when he sells it, then he goes and he compensates the non-Jewish owner regarding this production line that he's doing with his grapes. Now, moreover, in the meantime, he leaves the wine there in the domain, in the product, in the plant of the non-Jewish owner. Now, says the Mishnah as follows. If we're talking about a house, a plant, whatever it is, but it's open to the public domain. So it depends as follows. If it's a city that has non-Jews and Jews, so then the wine is going to be permitted. Why? Because the non-Jewish owner, who it's in his property, he's afraid and he's not going to touch that wine. Because he's going to say, this is open to the public domain. People walking down the street see right in. Maybe a Jew who's passing by in the street is going to see me. I'm going to lose the whole production line because the kashrus agency is going to come and remove their label because they saw that I was touching it, which makes it prohibited for a Jew. Now, moreover, this halacha would even if there's no key or seal for the Jewish person, still it would be permitted. Now, moreover, this halacha, as Rashi explains, would be talking about that there's no rights that the non-Jewish owner has on this wine itself. As the Mishnah will say in the next case, it's as if when the non-Jewish owner says, "All right, I received the money from you. Don't worry, meaning it's your wine. You could do as you please. I can't hold you back from taking it." So then the wine's going to be permitted because he's afraid. But Be'ir Shekulo Evdi Kechavim Aser, if it's a city that's only non-Jews, so he's not afraid of any Jew passing by, and the non-Jews don't care, then he might touch it, and then it's prohibited, and therefore we say that that wine is prohibited. Then the Gemara says, She'yeshiv Shomer, until the Jewish person places a guard, a watchman. Now, as the Mishnah qualifies, Ve'en Hashem Mitzarech Li Yeshiv Meshamer, the guard doesn't have to be the 24/7 sitting there and watching, but rather, even Afa Pishu Yetzev Nichnas Mutter, even though he just comes and goes, but he could just pop in, and then the non-Jew is afraid he might get busted the second that he's sticking his hand into the wine, therefore he wouldn't do that. And then even if it's a city that's only non-Jews, but if someone just might pop in for a visit, that would make the wine permitted. Now, Reb Shimon Elazar, he disagrees with the Tanna Kamma. He says, Rishus Evdi Kechavim Achasi, the properties of non-Jews are all one, which he mustn't explain. What does that mean? What is he coming to disagree with the Tanna Kamma? Continues the Mishnah. Same category. Hamitar Yenish al Evik Echavim Benas Nibrishus. Someone purifies the wine of a non-Jew, meaning that he does it, only Jewish people, they do the production, but they leave the wine in the property of the non-Jew. Vahalo Kaisav Leis Kebalti Mimcha Ma'is. And as we said before, which Rashi qualified the same thing in the first case, the non-Jewish owner writes to him, I received money from you, meaning it's as if you paid me already. So then Mutter, then, as we said in the Reisha, if this house is open to the public domain, so he has no way of holding back the non-Jew, so he has no right to it. Moreover, and that's what means when he says, it's as if you paid me already. And moreover, if anyone passed by, he would lose all that money, he would get busted, so then Mutter, in that case, it would be permitted. Aval im yirtza Yisrael lahitzi. But if let's say it would be that the Jew wanted to take out the wine, we have our label, we want to sell to our Jewish customers, and the non-Jewish owner would say, no, you can't take out this product until you pay me the money that you owe me for what you want to use this to sell. Oh, in that case, the wine is like collateral. And since it's considered as if he has a loan on this wine itself, because he could withhold the release of this wine for the Jew to sell, this was actually such an incident in Beishan, and they said that this wine is going to be prohibited. Why? Because the non-Jew is not afraid. Because he thinks, even if people see me, I'm not going to lose, because if they're going to come and claim for me, I'm going to say, well, that's mine, because he owed me that money anyway. And that's why this was collateral against that loan. And therefore, since he's not afraid, he might come to touch it and then give it to the Jew, which is prohibited because the non-Jew touched it. And therefore, in all situations, we're concerned for that, and that type of wine is going to be forbidden. Now, the Gemara asked regarding the opening halacha of the Mishnah that said that if the Jew does a kosher run in the non-Jewish plant, and if it's open to the public domain, So he said, but if it's a city that's only non-Jews, then it's going to be us, he's not afraid. If there's Jews, then he'll be afraid. And that is the Gemara. Why? Even a city that's totally non-Jewish population, somewhere out and very far away, there's no Jewish people there. But there are peddlers who sell fragrances who are Jews. They go around from city to city, and the non-Jews are afraid because they say, Jews pop in every now and then. He might see me in the Rishus Sarabim. So why is it going to be usher if there's kula akum? It should be mutter because he would be afraid of the non-Jewish person that's visiting. So Amar Shmuel says, Be'ir she'ish lo d'lasayim riach. Amar Shmuel told about a city where there are doors and a bolt, meaning to say that no one's allowed to come into this gated community without permission. And when someone does come in, everyone knows. And since the non-Jew will know when a Jew happens to be here, for that moment he'll be able to hold himself back, and therefore it's not going to help as to be a surprise to put that fear in him. He's going to know when the Jew's there. And the rest of the time he's not, he'll be touching it, and therefore it's going to be forbidden. Now, Amar Rav Yosef, he qualifies the halacha of our Mishnah, and he says that although the Mishnah made it sound like that this halacha is only if it's open to the public domain, let's say in the city that there's Jews and non-Jews, that then it's going to be mutter. So Rav Yosef says, even if you have a house that's open to a courtyard, not to Rishus HaRab, the chaloin, but there's a window that's in the courtyard that opens into the Rishus HaRabim, opposite the entryway of the house, that's Rishus HaRabim, I mean, that would also be considered as if it's open to the public domain, as if it opens. So although it doesn't open to Rishus HaRabim, but the window does, that's going to be sufficient to be put the fear in him not to do anything touching the wine. Or another interpretation is that we're talking about that there's a window of a Jew that opens opposite the house of the non-Jew. That is going to be like him for Rishus HaRabim, because the Jew might just happen to be by his window. His next-door neighbor might say, hey, what's this non-Jewish guy doing with the Jew's wine? Which Rashi says, the primary interpretation, that will say have the same halachic status as Rishus HaRabim, which again is the main idea, that a Jew might just be looking and he's going to be afraid, because then he's going to lose this whole investment with the Jewish product that he's trying to sell. Moreover, says Rav Yosef, Ashba, a garbage dump, which normal for people to stand on top of the garbage dump, is also Rishus HaRabim dummy. It's the same as the public domain, because people frequent over there, and they might be just be standing up over there and seeing into the plant and see this non-Jew touching the wine, and he'll be afraid of that. So to Vedikla, a Jewish-owned palm tree, which is opposite the entryway of the plant of that non-Jew's home, so the non-Jew is afraid that maybe now the Jew might just happen to be going on this palm tree and getting his fruits, and I'm afraid to touch because he might see me. Rishus HaRabim to me is also qualified the same halacha as Rishus HaRabim, which is the non-Jew will be afraid, and therefore the wine is permitted. Now, on that says the Gemara regarding the last case of the dikla of the palm tree, but if psik reshe, if the top of the palm tree has stopped, meaning there's no more produce anymore on this tree, then pligi bar Rav Achan Ravina, then there's a machlikis Rav Achan Ravina. One says it's forbidden the wine, and one says no, the wine is permitted. As the Gemara explains, Manda Asa, the one who says that it's going to be prohibited is because the non-Jew tells himself, why would the Jew go up in the palm tree anymore? There's no fruits anymore. Now he's not afraid, because the only angle that someone could see into the plant is on top of this palm tree, and no Jew is coming there anymore because there's no more fruits. But Amanda Shari, the one that says it's still going to be permitted, because Zimna de Avdele Behema, the non-Jew thinks to himself, well, sometimes the Jew could lose his animal. The Sulikly Unibasa, and he goes up and wants to get a good vantage point, an eagle's eye view. So he goes up on top of his palm tree to see where his animal is. And once he's up there, he's going to say, hey, what's that non-Jew doing in the plant touching the wine? And he's afraid of that. Therefore, it's still going to be permitted. It's still going to have the qualification in Kirishus Aram Dami, and the wine that he has by him is going to be permitted. Mer continues a related discussion. Turn on the Brisa. Echad halakeach, the echad ha-secher bayis, whether someone who purchases or rents a house, b'chatzeri shal oivik kachavim, in the courtyard of non-Jews, u'melo yain, and he fills up his apartment full with wine. Now, v'yisrol dar ba'is ha-chatzer. So, it's the Jew's wine, his own apartment. Moreover, there's a Jew, he just stores all his wine with it. There is a Jew who lives in that same courtyard. And that's his debreis of mutter, so the wine that he keeps in his apartment is going to be permitted. And even if he doesn't have any seals on his barrels, he doesn't have any locks, any keys to prevent anyone from getting in, even so, it's going to be permitted because no one's allowed to go into his apartment. There's a Jew there who's going to see, and therefore no non-Jew is going to come and tamper with it, and therefore it's going to be permitted. Now, as we continue to Medbeis, continues the Braisa, but let's say there's a Jew who lives only b'chatzar acheres, in a neighboring courtyard, but not in that courtyard itself. So then mutter, then the wine that he keeps in his apartment, that no other Jew lives in that courtyard, and only non-Jew is going to be permitted, only then, only then the Jew has seals, and or he has a lock, and he has the key in his hand, then it'll be permitted because A, it's his apartment, and B, he has a lock. So that much will be another protective measure to make sure the non-Jews are not messing around with his wine. Continues the Braisa, like the halachas of our Mishnah. Hametar yenish al oivid kechavim. If someone purifies the wine of a non-Jew, so what he's doing is it's really owned by the non-Jew, but he's making a special production line for the kosher product, but he puts it and he keeps it in the non-Jew's property. Now, the Yisrael dar b'ayis ha-chatzar. Now, in that same courtyard of that house of the non-Jew, where the wine's being kept, there's a Jew who lives in that courtyard. Says the b'ayis mutter, the wine will be permitted, but v'hu shemavtech v'chesim miyadeh. That's only if there's a seal or there's a key, there's a lock, in the hand of the Jew. But if there's no key or a seal that the Jew has, even though there's a Jew who lives in that same courtyard, it will be forbidden. Why? Because since the wine is owned by the non-Jew, although he allows a Jew to use his product to make a kosher product, but since it's owned by the non-Jew, he's not so afraid. So therefore, even though there's a Jew who lives in that courtyard, it's still not enough. Has to be also that there's a seal or a lock, then with those two protective measures, then we'll say the wine's permitted. In spite of that, Omle Rabbi Yechon Tana, Rabbi Yechon says to the one who taught this braisa, Tanei, no, you should amend the braisa. Ava pei she'ein mafteich v'chesem yaday. No, even though there's no seal or there's no key in the hand of the Jew, mutter, the wine will be permitted. Since a Jew lives in that courtyard, It's like a guard that you have who's coming and going. Where we said in our Mishnah, it's going to be mutter. So even though it's not the Jew's wine, like in the first case when the Jew had his own apartment with his own wine, it's the non-Jew's wine and it's in the non-Jew's house. But since there's a Jew in the neighborhood, in the courtyard, he might see that's enough to instill fear, even if there's no chesim and mafteich biyadai shal Yisrael, said Rabbi Yechon, amend the braisa to read, it's going to be mutter. Continues the braisa. B'chatzar acheres. Let's say there's no Jew in that courtyard, but rather in the neighboring courtyard. Then the wine will be forbidden. Even if the Jew has a seal or a key in his hand, but that's all it is. So the non-Jew will just break the seal or break in because A, it's his own wine, and B, there's no Jew in that courtyard. That's divrei meir. The chacham eisen, the chacham say it's going to be forbidden. Until you have a guardian that's sitting there and safeguarding, or if he's someone that designated who comes at designated times, where that there should be a guardian who protects to safeguard it. But if, let's say, he comes and goes, and if he has set times, that's also going to be good enough, but he has to have set times. What it means to say is the Chacham are saying that you have someone appointed where the non-Jews are afraid that this guy is going to come. Which the Gemara is going to actually ask on the Girsa that we just said, what do you mean? If he comes at designated times, he's not afraid. I know he comes at 3, 6, 9, 12. Okay, great. Wait till he comes. Not doing anything. He leaves. I know he's not coming back for another 3 hours. So the Gemara will ask him that. But that's what the Chacham are saying, that he has to be afraid. You have to have a guardian or someone that comes at certain times that will make him afraid. Now the Gemara asks, Chacham Ahai. The Chacham were mentioned at the end of the Braisa. What case are they going on? So Ilema Sefer, if you would read in chronological order as a Bryce is normally read, it's going in the last case that was mentioned, which was the case of the non-Jew's wine, which was just made as a kosher product by the Jew, but it's kept in the non-Jew's domain. Moreover, there's no Jew in the neighborhood, there's only a Jew in the neighboring courtyard. So on that, the Chacham are saying, so the wine's going to be aser until you have a guard. Says the Gemara, Tamekama Nami Mesakasa, but who are they disagreeing with? The first Tana, meaning that of Remeir, also said the wine's forbidden. He said, even though that the Jew has a key or a lock or a seal, it's still going to be aser, which obviously means you need a greater level of protection, which you have to have a guard who makes sure nothing is done. So what's who the Chum disagreeing with? So the Ella rather says, the Gemara, no, Aresha de Seifa. The Chum are disagreeing on the first of the last case, meaning there's two primary cases, when it's the Jew's wine, and two cases, meaning when the Jew is in the neighborhood or not, and there's also two in the Sefer, which we're talking about when it's the wine of a non-Jew. So the Sefer was when it's the non-Jew's wine, and there's no Jew even in the neighborhood, rather in the neighboring courtyard. The first case of the Sefer was, it's a non-Jew's wine, and it's in the non-Jew's domain, but additionally, there's a Jew who lives in that courtyard itself. In that case, Rameir says it's going to be mutter, as long as the Jewish owner has a key or a seal. That says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, that the Rabbanan are coming to say that it's going to be prohibited until you have a shomer. That is the Gemara. How can you say that? But Rabbi Yochanan said to the one who taught the Braisa when he was teaching that case of the Reish of the Seifa, Tanei, he said, amend it to say that Afa Pisha ain maftech v'chaisim yadei, that even if there's no key and seal in the hand of the Jew, still, since there's a Jew in the neighborhood, it's going to be mutter. So obviously, it was so obvious to Rabbi Yochanan in such a case that we go lenient, and therefore it would sound like that the Rabbanan would not disagree and say that it's going to be usher that you need to have a shomer. Because even in the opinion of Meir, he didn't hesitate to say to Rabbi Yochanan that, no, if there's a Jew in the neighborhood, so what is it? So it's like a shomer coming and going. It's a free shomer. The Jew is always around. You don't even need to have that the Jew has a key or a seal. So how can you say the Rabbanan disagree and say in that case that you would need to have a shomer? So Ba'ela rather says the Gemara, a Seifa Dereisha. We'd be going on the second case of the first category, which was when it's the Jew's wine. And on that, the Braisa taught, the Tanakama said that if there's a Jew who lives B'chatza Acheres in a neighboring courtyard, so the Tanakama said, it will be mutter, even though there's no Jew in the neighborhood itself, but since it's the Jew's wine, and the Jew has a seal or a key, so since you have these two ideas, and it's the Jew's wine, so the non-Jew is afraid of forging the seal, because maybe the Jew is going to realize, meaning the Jew who lives in the neighboring courtyard, because although he's not in this courtyard itself, but he is somewhere nearby. With those two things, that's the time the Kama said it's going to be mutter. That says the Gemara, V'chamayim mecham disagree. And they say, no, la'aylam asa, it's always going to be asr, even if there's a Jew in the neighboring courtyard and there's a seal. Even though it's the Jew's wine, until you have a guard who's sitting there and protecting, or if you have someone designated to come at certain times to check up. Which the Gemara asked, as we alluded to this earlier, what, a designated person who comes at designated times? Greyesahi. But to the contrary, that's a deficiency. Because since the non-Jew comes and knows that he comes at certain times, he's not going to be afraid because he knows he only comes in and not at other times. Ella rather says the Gemara, no, ad sheyavim mamuna she'ein the balakitzin. The Gers has to be, or unless you have someone appointed who doesn't come at designated times, he could just pop in, then the non-Jew is going to be afraid, meaning if it's a Jew's wine, so no one's allowed to come into the bar. And then if someone could just pop in, then he's afraid, or if there's a guard who's protecting there all the time, then it's going to be mutter, not like the Tanakama who said that it's enough, even if you have a Jew in the neighboring courtyard. If you have a mafteach v'chaisim b'yadai, then he said, the Tanakhama says, it's going to be mutter, and then the Chama say, no, you have to have actually a shomer or someone that pops in to make a mutter. Now the Mishnah continued, and he said, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, he says, that reshus eibdik gechavim achasi. So in regards to the Tanakhama, his halacha of, when we said that if it's the non-Jew's wine, but it's being a special kosher production line, and they said if it's open to the Rishus HaRabim, so then we said it depends. If there's Jews and non-Jews, so then it's going to be mutter. If there's only non-Jews, it's going to be us. That Bishop Allah said, well, he said all the properties of all non-Jews are considered one. Ibailu did the following question. Bishop Allah said, Lahakal, was he coming to be lenient? And that is, Tanakhama said that a city that's all non-Jews, it's forbidden to put it in the house of the non-Jew who's the owner of the wine. And what more, the Tanakhama was also saying that you can't even keep it in the house of a different non-Jew. And that Rav Shimon Elazar was coming to say in the word of Tamiya, and this is the primary, the intonation of the words of Rav Shimon Elazar is going to be the key of the Gemara's question. He was saying, what, do you think the properties of every non-Jew is considered as one property? In other words, since it's not in the house of the non-Jew who owns it, says Rav Shimon Elazar, it's going to be permitted because this other non-Jew, it's not his wine. He is afraid of being busted. And therefore, Rav Shimon Elazar is being lenient in contrast to the Tanakhama. Oy lahachmor, or says the Gemara, no. Rav Shimon Elazar was being stringent. And you have to read his words not as a bitmiya, wondering, that what, you think it's all one domain? No, he was saying that, what do you mean it is one domain? And that is the Tanakhama was no specifically saying, as it said in our Mishnah, that if this wine owned by a non-Jew, which was being produced by kosher, by Jewish people, by a kosher plant, by a kosher production line, and it was in the house of the non-Jewish owner, that's what the Tanakhama says, oh, that's going to be prohibited because he's not afraid because there's only non-Jews around. That Rav Shimon Elazar was coming to say that no, it's going to be us even if it's in the house of a different non-Jew. Because we're concerned, as the Gemara will say later on, for what's called Gaimlin. That they go ahead and they do kickbacks. They, you know, you let me do, I'll let you do. So although that this non-Jew that It's his house. He designated a separate place where the Jew could keep these kosher products of the wine product, and he's not going to touch it because he's afraid to touch it because he has no rights to it. And if he touches it, he's going to be prosecuted for being a thief. We are concerned that maybe he lets his fellow non-Jew, who is the real owner of the wine, where that guy's not afraid to do nisuch because it's his wine. So too, over here, when this Jew, if let's say he would go ahead and buy wine from this other non-Jew, he would let the other one come along and do nisuch, so we're afraid for each one allowing the other one. So that's what Reb Shimon Lazar is being machmer and saying, that we can't go ahead and even keep it in another non-Jew's property, because they're all considered one. Because even though the one who's kept in would not touch it, but he allows the other guy to come along, and just like the because the other guy will let him when the non-Jew buys from him. So what's the halacha? So Rabbi Yehuda Amaziri lahakal, he says, Rabbi Shimon Lazar was coming to be lenient. Rabbi Nachman Amaziri, he says, lahakma, he was coming to be stringent. As the Gemara explains, as we elucidated. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ziri lahakal, he says, the name is Ziri, that Rabbi Shimon Lazar was being lenient. This is what Tanna Kamma is saying. Kashem Shabishu Si'as, the Tanna Kamma is saying, just like this wine, which is really owned by the non-Jew, he just lets the Jew do the production and pay him later on for the kosher product. When it's in his own domain, we said it's aser. Kach b'shus evikachav macher nami aser. Tanna Kamma said that also if it's in another Jew's property, it's also going to be aser. Why? As we said, because of chashin legaimlin. We're concerned for kickbacks where he's the non-Jewish owner comes to visit his non-Jewish friend who doesn't have any rights to this wine. He says, look, let me do stuff with this wine, and I'll do for you also. When the Jew is going to buy from you and he's going to safeguard it by me, I'll let you come and touch your wine there also. And Reb Shimon Lazaim, he says, no, when did we say it's prohibited in his own domain? Then he's not afraid because there's no Jews going around. And moreover, it's my own wine. But if it's a different non-Jew who has no rights to it, yeah, he's afraid he'll be prosecuted. There it's permitted, and we're not concerned he's going to touch it. Moreover, and neither are we concerned even for this concept of gaimlin, that he would let the other non-Jewish on say, no, you guys can't touch it. I'm going to get prosecuted. We're not concerned from that. And therefore, according to that interpretation, when Reb Shimon Lazar says in the Mishnah, achasi, it was like a wonder, saying like, what do I mean? Is it one property? And it's not one property. He's a different non-Jew. He would never let him touch it, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Reb Nachman Amaziri Lahachmi says that Reb Shimon Lazar was being stringent. And this is what Tanna Kamma is saying. But that man, when did we say that the wine's going to be aser if it's a ir shekula akum b'shusai, if it's in the property of the non-Jewish owner himself? But if it's in the property of a different non-Jew, then it's going to be permitted. And because of the chashin, I'm not concerned for this concept of kickbacks. And the other non-Jew won't let him. Say, look, I know it's your wine, but the Jew is keeping my me. I'm going to get prosecuted. I'm sorry, you can't touch. He was saying, no, you read it, he's saying, no, it's all the same one property, and it is always going to be us, because we are chashinan l'gaimlin. Says the Gemara, we have a braisa that supports the interpretation that says Reb Shimon Lazar was being more stringent. Because the braisa says, all the properties of non-Jews are considered like one property, meaning like the owner itself, because of the people that are crafty and they trick and they're sneaky, where they'll be gaimlin zeh lazeh, so non-Jews will do that and we can't trust them, and therefore it's always going to be aser if it's in a property of a non-Jew, if it's wine that's owned by a non-Jew. Now, a related incident, the Gemara tells that the Bey Parzik, the household of Parzik, who was the name of a person that was Rafila, he was the viceroy, he was the second to the king, a sivu chamra. So they placed wine, which was kosher wine, where the Jews would buy from them on credit. They placed the wine, gabe arisaihu, by their sharecroppers, who were non-Jews just like them. Now, Savra Bonika made the Rebbe Lememe, so the rabbis who were in front of the Rebbe thought to say, ki chashin l'gaimlin, when are we concerned for gaimlin, meaning even though it's not in his own property, it's in his sharecropper's properties, other people's properties. And there is a machleik, as we mentioned before, there are opinions who say, we're concerned for gaimlin, even though it's by another non-Jew, he might let the owner come and touch it. Hani mili hecha de komaisiv hai gabe hai. So on that, the rabbis were trying to say in front of Rava, that concern of gaimlin, even for those who are concerned for gaimlin, would only be when each one, well, why should I let you? Oh, because you'll let me. Fine. So it's only when, because each one will allow the other one to touch when the Jew is safeguarding it by him. But in this case, since it's not normal for the sheercroppers to keep their wine by the viceroy, by the second to the king, so I'm not concerned for gemlin. Because why should they let the viceroy touch the wine that they're watching for the Jew? They could get prosecuted. The only reason why they would do it is because, okay, when we're keeping our wine by you, you'll let us touch too, but a sharecropper doesn't keep his wine by the boss, by the second, by the vice president. That wouldn't happen. So therefore, they won't let him touch because there's no concern for gambling. Adam LaRava, Rava said to them, no, Adraba, to the contrary. Even according to the one who says, generally, we're not concerned for gambling, where generally another non-Jew does not let the non-Jewish owner touch it, and it's usually mutter. That's only when the guy who is watching it is not afraid of the one who's the owner of that wine. But here, since the sharecropper is afraid of his master, of it, meaning of the one he works for, so therefore, even if the viceroy would come along and touch it, he would cover for him and he would testify that he didn't touch it, and therefore we have to be concerned, even for those who generally nachash for gambling, here it would be usher by this wine that he's keeping by his sharecropper, because he is touching it, because it is his wine, and therefore it's going to be awesome. Gemara tells Karacha, there was a certain town, where there was Jewish wine, and they found a non-Jew was standing amongst the barrels. So Amar Rava, he said as follows, if this non-Jew is a weak non-Jew, and he's not a powerful person, and he's afraid of the policemen and the judges of that city, and if he would be found that he was nitfas alav kaganav, if he would be caught as a thief and he would get prosecuted, so chamer shari, then the wine is permitted to even drink because we're not concerned that he touched it because he wouldn't touch it. It's not his wine, Jew's wine, related to the halacha, as we said before, and he has no rights to touch it. And he would get prosecuted, so he wouldn't touch it. But if not, if he wouldn't get prosecuted, he's not afraid, he's a powerful non-Jew, then also it's going to be forbidden even to have benefit from it because we assume that for sure he touched it. And if he touched it, we don't know what he did with it. He might have done avodah zarah things with it. And therefore, it's going to be aser. Hadin lach Rabbi Shmuel, which I will turn to you, the fourth parak of Masechta Avodah Zarah, parak Rabbi Shmuel. And with that, we conclude the parak where Rashi has what's called maskana de milsa, where he comes up with conclusions from the specifics of these at times complicated sugyas of Yayin Esach, and he puts down the following klalim, where if a non-Jew touched wine intentionally, so since he intended to touch, or if let's say he agitated the wine, even if he didn't pour it, it's going to be forbidden to have any benefit from that wine, as we learned in the brisa of our gardenim of the superintendent, who is the non-Jew in the Fnut Chesem and Aleph, where we say, Leich Leich Amrin Nazir, we tell that stay far away, like we say to the Nazir, that it's going to be forbidden to have any benefit from it, because since he touched it intentionally, or he agitated, so it becomes Asa B'Hana. Let's say he touched it without intention, so let's say it's Toma where he doesn't recognize that it's wine. So then it's going to be permitted to have benefit from it, as we find by the Braisa of the Charam, the deranged person, the non-Jew, and the Chesem and Aleph. Or similar like in the case when he falls into a pit, which is also unintentionally. So it's going to be permitted to have benefit from it because he didn't intend to agitate for the purpose of a desire. But it's going to be usher to drink it because ultimately when the non-Jew touches the wine, it becomes usher to drink it, as we find this halacha in the Mishnah of Samach and Beis. So if let's say he intended to touch the wine, but not for the purposes of touching the wine, but to get something else from there. Like the case we had by the esrig, by Ravashi, where the person was not intending to touch the wine, he was just trying to grab the esrig from falling down to the bottom of the barrel. So then the wine's going to be permitted to have benefit from it. There also, we don't assume that he agitated for the purposes of a desire, as we send up in the Testament base. Let's say the non-Jew touches the wine through something else, like with a reed. So then, if we know that his intention was for something else, like let's say where he was measuring with the reed, or he was just flipping out the hornet from the wine, then it's permitted to have benefit from it, as we learn in the Mishnah of Samach Beis. It's forbidden to drink in these cases. Ultimately, he touched it, alidei davar acha, which Rashi holds as aser, but he didn't do it for the purpose of avodah zarah, and therefore it's going to be mutter b'hana. Let's say he did it intentionally, but we don't know what his kavana was. We know intentionally he's touching, but what was his intention? So then it's going to be usher to even have any benefit from it, as we find the of the case that was in Biram, where Rav said it's permitted because it was unintentionally. Which sounds like, but if he touched it intentionally, then it would be usher because we don't know. Maybe he was intending it to be for the purposes of a desire. Regarding the force of a non-Jew when he is still attached to the wine, for example, if let's say he's pouring into the wine, so and he recognized that it's wine, so then the wine's going to be even usher b'hana, which there are different gersois that say it's going to be forbidden to drink, but mutbano. But there are those who explain, although we say regarding kaychai that it's mutbano, here it's not the same as a regular force because it's a force that it's connected. When he's pouring, his force is moving it, but he's also connected to that wine, and therefore it's going to be also even bahano. Which this we know from the Halacha of Rabbi Yechonah, who he said that go out and announce regarding the wine, where the non-Jews were diluting and mixing the wine, that it's going to be a problem of yayin nesach because of this Halacha of leich leich amrin nazira, where also there could be concern that maybe he touched it and we didn't realize. Let's say the non-Jew did not recognize that this was wine, so then it's going to be permitted even to drink it, even though he's pouring the wine. And this we know from the story of Rabbi Yechon ben Arz and Rabbi Yisi ben Arai, that one of them said it's going to be permitted even to drink, which both agree to the logic. The question is only what was the intention of the non-Jew over there, but that's because we said that he doesn't think that it's going to be wine. He thinks it's beer, as we said in Daf Nun Ches, and therefore it's going to be permitted even to drink it. Now, let's say he's moving the wine, but he's not attached to it. For example, let's say he throws something into the wine press, into the pit, which makes the wine move. Then the wine is going to be permitted even to drink it, even if his intention was to shake the wine, as we know from the Halacha of Rav Ashi, where he says that kol shebezav tar, wherever in regarding a zav, if he moves something, it's going to be tar, which if let's say he throws something at something, the person, the keli, does not become tummy. So too, regarding the non-Jew, he does not make that wine into yayin esach, as we said in Samach and Beis, and therefore in this case, even if he throws it unintentionally and he knows this wine, since he's not connected, he's not touching it, he just threw an object from a distance, that thing, the wine that it touches, is going to be mutter, even Bishtiyah.